Chapter 20. Jesse and Molly met back at the office. She'd been to Annie's house and said that Annie's recollections of the night hadn't changed. Before Molly had left, Annie told her that she really hadn't been kidding. She had burned the clothes she'd been wearing that night, jeans and shirt and underthings, and even her shoes. She said she didn't want to talk about what had happened ever again with Molly or Jesse or anyone. But the more she talked about it, the better the chance that her husband would find out. "She does know she was the victim, right?" Jesse said, "or attempted victim." "You say victim," Molly said. "She feels guilty, like she somehow had it coming." Jesse shook his head. "She's still being an idiot." "What did she say about what happened to you?" Jesse said. "That she wished she could have been the one to stab the fucker, if it was the same guy," Molly said, "and not in the leg." They were in the conference room, just the two of them. Suit was at his desk, still looking for any possible financial information on the late Paul Hutton. Jesse and Molly were going over old case files. Not long after he'd become chief in Paradise, all the police departments in Massachusetts had changed over to electronic report systems. The shorthand for them was RMS, Records Management Systems. They were sorted by modus operandi: murder, gun crimes, and domestic violence. It was a long list, more than 24 possible boxes to check. There were separate categories, case by case, for interested parties, people with a nexus to a particular crime, not just a victim or suspect. There was no box, Molly said, for people you had pissed off along the way. Before RMS, it was all paper, in two boxes at the other end of the table. Molly had already gone through the first one when Jesse had arrived back at the office from the Canes. "I could do this myself," Molly said, "and you could stay on Paul Hutton." "I'm still not convinced they're not connected somehow," Jesse said. "Because you don't believe in coincidence," Molly said. "Neither do you." "Words to live by from the chief," Molly said. "You can drive yourself crazy with what ifs," Jesse said. "Not just them." "A guy got shot," Jesse said. "Somebody took a shot at me not long after." "We haven't found one thing connecting the two events," Molly said.
"Doesn't mean there isn't one," he said.
He told her about Bryce Kane, knowing Paul's full name. Molly said that maybe somebody in the department had said something to somebody and it had gotten back to him, the way things did in a small town. Jesse told her she didn't believe that, and neither did he.
"You going to call him out on it?" Molly said.
"Not just yet," Jesse said. "I'll wait for that perfect moment." "I'm guessing it won't be a perfect moment for him."
"Probably not."
"You sure you don't want me to focus on coming up with a list of possibles out of the past so you can focus on your Vic?" Molly said. "I multitasked before," Jesse said, and nodded at the boxes. Molly had made a list of possible suspects after going through the first box. They began to sort through the next box, case by case. They could both feel the almost kinetic energy in the room, even though this kind of work was always a grind. But cases like these, personal or not, made them forget all the times when the biggest crimes in Paradise involved bar fights, or underage drinking at the beach, or graffiti on the bridge to Stiles Island, or noise violations when a party at one of the Muy Grande houses got too big. This was for all the times when being chief, as much as he loved being chief, felt like early retirement, when boredom would set in and could drive a guy to drink. The very first name on the list was Hasty Hathaway, former president of the Board of Selectmen, who'd hired Jesse, thinking he was hiring a drunk he could control. Jesse ended up putting him away for murder and racketeering and a lot of other bad shit produced by the secret militia group the crazy bastard had going for him on the side.
"How long will Hasty be at Concord?" Molly said. "Until the 12th of never," Jesse said. "But my math could be slightly off."
"Could he still be harboring his grudge against us?" Molly said.
"I was over there not long ago, at his parole hearing," Jesse said, "telling them that I didn't think this asshole would ever be rehabilitated, and reminding them that he would have had me killed if I hadn't taken him down. Whatever happened to the frisky Mrs. Hathaway, by the way? Have we lost track of that little minx?
I assume she's still looking to bang every guy she can get to stand still long enough, Jesse said.
I'm still amazed she missed you, Molly said.
Not for lack of effort, Jesse said.
Even when your steely will was weakened by drink?
Even I never drank that much, he said.
They finished with the second box of paper files and moved on to electronic. When they did, Jesse said, "What about the Marino kid?"
Bo Marino and a couple of his dumbass high school buddies had raped a Paradise High School girl named Candace Pennington. One had taken naked pictures of her while the other two held her down. But Bo Marino, a jackwagon and son of a jackwagon, had been the ringleader. He had escaped doing time only because he was a minor. Somehow he and his friends had even been lawyered off the sex offender list.
I lost track of Bo after he did his community service for me, Jesse said.
But put him high up on our list. Sonny says that if you're born round, you don't die square.
You reference Sonny quite a lot, Molly said. Have you noticed that?
She has a lot of interesting things to say, Jesse said. Molly grinned.
With or without her clothes on, Molly said.
Hey, she's your friend too, Jesse said.
Just without benefits.
I haven't been the beneficiary of those for a while, he said.
At least outside your dreams, Molly said.
They worked through the afternoon and into the early evening. They talked about cases and perps and victims they had forgotten. They'd remembered the two serial killers, Tony and Brianna Lincoln, who'd finally been caught in Canada after killing Jesse's friend Abby Taylor and Anthony D'Angelo, a good kid who'd been one of Jesse's Paradise cops. It was past 6 o'clock when they stopped and decided to go over to the Grey Gull and have an early dinner. When they got to their table, Sonny Randall was waiting for them.
Say hi to your new roommate, Jesse said to Molly.
You're kidding, right? Molly said.
Not even a little bit, Jesse said.
They were still going around and around on that during dessert, when Jesse got the call that somebody had left a pipe bomb at Suit's front door.